for the joy of Christmas. Advent is a season of waiting, of preparation, of expectation. In Advent, we intentionally practice the discipline of waiting. We don't light all of the candles on the Advent wreath at once. We only light them when the time is right, 1 week at a time, until the whole wreath shines on Christmas Day. Another great way to practice waiting is the Advent calendar, which counts down the days until Christmas one by one. I personally love the ones that have a little door for each day, and there's a piece of chocolate behind each door. Part of you, of course, wants to just dump the whole thing out and eat all the chocolate at once. Who can really eat just one piece of chocolate? But these calendars help us build up the discipline of waiting. Waiting in hopeful expectation for the day when finally we celebrate the coming of Christ into this world. A day of joy and hope and peace. But what does this waiting look like? I'd like to propose that there are two kinds of waiting. First, there's the kind of waiting that is really about preparation, when we actively participate in bringing about the thing we are waiting for. For example, whenever my mom is coming to town, I'm always really excited for her visit, but that also means I've got to get busy preparing for her arrival. I have to wash my dishes, vacuum, and stock the fridge with her favorite brand of sparkling water. Or maybe you're waiting for the arrival of a new baby. You can't just sit back and take it easy. You've got to prepare a nursery, buy cute little onesies, get a car seat. It's exciting and it's something to look forward to, but it takes a lot of work. It demands from you an active response. I'm going to call this kind of waiting active preparation. Then there's the other kind of waiting. This is the kind of waiting when there's really nothing you can do to prepare. All you can do is sit tight and wait. This kind of waiting can be maddening. It takes a lot of patience and endurance. Sometimes we're waiting for something really fun and exciting. I remember when I was a child, I couldn't even let myself think about Christmas because I was so excited for it to get here and so impatient. But nothing I did would make Christmas morning get there any sooner. I just had to sit tight and wait. Other times we're waiting for something that's not so fun. This kind of waiting fills us with dread and worry. This is the kind of waiting that happens in the waiting rooms of doctors' offices and hospitals, or when you're stuck in a job that you hate, but you just have to wait it out a little longer. There's no joyful anticipation in this. This is the kind of waiting that just feels like longing or loss or hopelessness. When there's nothing you can do but sit tight and wait, whether that's waiting for a good thing or a hard thing, all you can do is wait and hope and pray. Let's call this kind of waiting prayerful expectation. So what kind of waiting are we called to do in Advent? Our scripture readings today are strikingly different from one another. We go from the wolf shall dwell with the lamb to the chaff you will burn with unquenchable fire. It's enough to give you theological whiplash. Isaiah starts us off with this beautiful description of what it will be like when God's kingdom has come fully to earth. Peace will reign. There will be no more violence or struggle. Even fierce wild animals will snuggle up with little children. And all the people of the earth will know the loving kindness of God. Then our psalm continues with this wonderful description of God's kingdom, where God's Son shall come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth. I know exactly what that smells like. This psalm takes me straight back to summers in the Texas Hill Country, to what the grass smells like after a hard rain in the afternoon, or on a December morning in Houston. And the psalmist tells us that there shall be abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. How I long for that kind of deep and abiding peace. Then, all of a sudden, we're in the desert with John the Baptist. There's no rain or grass to be found here. And John the Baptist's message is as fierce as the landscape. He says, "Even now the axe is lying at the foot of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." John tells the gathered crowds that Christ, the Messiah, is coming soon. And when he arrives, they'd better be ready, because he ain't kidding around. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will gather the good kernels of the wheat, but the chaff, the dry husks that aren't useful, he will burn with unquenchable fire. In other words, Christ is coming to sort out the good from the evil, the fruitful from the unfruitful, the authentic and sincere from the false and hypocritical. This is pretty intense stuff, and it's a pretty different image from the lambs and the rain and the mown fields that we heard in our first lessons. These different scriptures call us to practice different kinds of waiting, each just as important as the other. The gospel passage about the winnowing fork and the fire calls us to get busy, to get to work, or as John the Baptist says, to prepare the way of the Lord. It calls us to active preparation, to prepare our hearts and our world for the coming of Christ, just like we prepare our homes for a beloved family member coming to stay with us for the Christmas holiday. John the Baptist challenges us to examine our lives and our communities and determine what needs to be cut down and burned and what needs to be lifted up and nurtured. As we prepare for the coming of Christ, we need to determine what bad habits in our own lives need to be cut back and pruned. Maybe it's being snappy with your spouse, or spending too much money, or watching too much TV. It's definitely true for me. But it's not enough to look only at our own hearts. We must also take a hard look at our community and our world and determine what needs to be cleared out in order to make room for the Prince of Peace. Where is there injustice, evil, or cruelty? And how can you be a part of cutting it down and clearing it out? This is the kind of hard work of preparation that Advent demands of the disciples of Christ as we await the coming of God's kingdom. And yet there are also ugly, heartbreaking things in this world that we are powerless to change. Things we don't understand, things no one deserves, things that won't get better in our lifetime. And even in response to these things, our scriptures speak. Wait. There will come a time when all of that heartbreak is gone. There will be a day when love and goodness endure forever, when God's peace rules on earth at last. This is what Isaiah is talking about in today's lesson. In the midst of the brokenness of this world, Isaiah gives us something to wait for, hope for, and pray for. Here, Scripture calls us to prayerful expectation. One of the trickiest parts of being a disciple of Christ is learning to discern when you are called to act, to get to work, to take part in the building up of God's kingdom, and when there is really nothing you can do but sit and hope and pray. In other words, we must determine when we are called to active preparation and prayerful expectation. It's dangerous to rely too heavily on one kind of waiting and forget the other. If we believe that the fate of the world depends solely upon us, that the coming of God's kingdom depends on our work entirely, we will grow exhausted and overwhelmed and resentful. And if we believe that we can just sit back and relax because everything is in God's hands and one day it will all be made right, Then we become like the Pharisees, out of touch with the real pain and need of God's beloved children on this earth, and neglectful of our calling to be agents of peace and justice. You might know the Serenity Prayer, which comes out of the 12-step tradition. The prayer goes, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is a good prayer to pray during the season of Advent, and any time we need some help knowing what is ours to do and what is God's. Today is one of our quarterly Serve Sundays, as you can see by all these bright blue shirts, when we go out as a church family to serve the poor and the marginalized in our community. We have lots of great teams going out into Houston today and working here on our campus. Some are going to feed breakfast to the homeless. Others are going to share a holiday party with adults with intellectual disabilities. And still others are making chess sets to be used by children in Africa. If you'd like to help prepare the way of the Lord, please join us in this day of service. If you find me after the service, I'd be happy to help you join a team. Join us in celebrating Advent with both active preparation and prayerful expectation. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our bishops, Andy, Dina, and Jeff, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble, especially those whom we name now with our lips or in our hearts. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by God. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died, especially those whom we name now with our lips or in our hearts. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own way.
Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son came not to be served, but to serve, bless all who, following in his footsteps, give themselves to the service of others, that with wisdom, patience, and courage, they may minister in his name to the suffering, the friendless, and the needy, for the love of him who laid down his life for us, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Please be seated. Welcome this morning to Palmer Memorial Episcopal Church on the second Sunday of Advent. Especially want to welcome those who may be our guests today. We're honored by your presence, and please know that we gather in this season of Advent together as Christ's family. And because of that, we invite you to participate in this morning's celebration of Holy Communion. For this is indeed the Lord's table and not our own, and we're glad that you've gathered here with us. You'll notice scattered throughout the pew racks some cards that tell you about Advent services and activities, and also the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day schedule, and Christmas season worship schedule. Please take some of those with you for yourself, also to hand out to maybe some neighbors and friends. If you can't, if they run out in the pew racks, there are some of these cards at the doors of the church as you leave as well. One of the things that you'll see listed there is our annual service of Advent Lessons and Carols. That will take place next Sunday on December 11th at 5 p.m. It's a beautiful way to end the Lord's Day in the season of Advent, come back to the church in the evening. It's a wonderful time to invite your neighbors and your friends to come here and experience a little bit of what it means to pray and to sing here at Palmer Memorial. So we'll have some songs of the season. We'll have some beautiful music by our children's and adult choirs. So I hope that you'll put that on your calendar and bring some people with you. Today, after you leave worship, if you're going back through the courtyard and all, you'll pass some things in the breezeway that you may want to take note of. Those things are described in your written announcements today. including the angel tree that we put out each year, and that provides gifts for children and parents who are in prison. So if you've been waiting for that to appear, you'll see it out in the breezeway today. As was mentioned in the sermon, today is also Serve Sunday, and so I want to ask our curate, Alex Easley, to say something about that.
Thank you. So like I said, if you're already signed up for a Serve Sunday team, thank you so much. We're really excited. And if you don't have a team and you would like to sign up, please find me after the service, because we have plenty of opportunities this afternoon or right after the service that you could jump on. And especially invite everyone, whether you're doing a project later or not, to go upstairs right after the service. If you just go out this door, up the stairs to the parish hall, we have 6 different projects going on up there, and we need all the hands we can get. Making chess sets for the children in Africa, sorting clothing, sorting beans and rice, making candles for our homebound parishioners. Lots of fun projects for people of all ages, so please join us. Thank you.
Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts.